opportunity to meet here. We pray for your guidance and your wisdom upon each of us as we need to make decisions. Father, help us to do things in the order that you would have them to be done. We are here to serve the citizens of this community, and we fervently pray for your guidance that we might do all things both legally and morally and according to the oil. Father, just be with each of us now in this evening, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Any further additions or changes to the agenda?
The additions to the agenda is Sheriff Brett Smallstool contract request. We received something a little different. You, as commissioners, received some letters from the Greenfield Central School Corporation from some children who would like a request from you, and then the courthouse application 9 retainage to be approved and signed.
Okay. Very good. Y'all had a chance to look at the minutes and the claims?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Entertain a motion.
I'll go ahead and make a motion. We approve the minutes and claims.
Second.
Motion and second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much. Auditor Julia Reeves. Julia Reeves. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Her friends called her all the way.
Yeah, friend.
That's the reason you got to call her Julia.
She's official.
Actually, I want to talk to you about hiring someone to come in to go through our buildings to find out what we can sell, what needs to be trashed, and get some of our storage buildings cleaned out. They're all full. And we have no place to put anything else.
That was mentioned in our meeting today.
Yes.
That we're out of storage.
Yes.
And I'm sure there's a lot of things that could be got rid of if somebody could make a decision on them. So,
Melissa and I met a person when we were at a conference, and they come in and they go through your stuff and they find out what they can sell, you know, put it on to sell, and they take a percentage. So I don't know how you would feel about that.
Because not only do they sell it on gov deals, so it goes to like the government chain like it's supposed to, but then they package it up, box it up, and ship it off. I mean, we don't have to touch anything. They take care of everything. And they will do departments because they get, like if the sheriff's department wanted just their things sold, so it would go to them, but then that you could do it in departments also.
Okay.
So anyhow, Commissioner Sanders is pretty proficient in this kind of thing, and he actually instructed us not long ago that a lot of times it costs a lot to sell stuff. And so I'm going to obviously defer to him on this, but I mean, something needs to be done. You just can't let this thing grind to a halt. So I wonder if Commissioner Sanders has anything to illuminate here.
Numbers, I don't have a problem doing that, but I'd like numbers from how much he's going to charge, somewhat of an estimate.
Well, there'll be a contract, so you'll have the opportunity to talk with him and have the contract.
Okay, once I see the numbers, what the percent is, because hiring an auctioneer is pretty expensive, and a lot of auctioneers aren't even wanting to do on-site sales.
You'd do it for free, wouldn't you?
I thought about it, but somebody would think I was making money somehow.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
When I bought the sale, they would think that there was something funny going on, but just joking.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
We need to know the percent that they charge, and I suggest that you get a couple of references that they have done. And, I mean, if we was talking like, they kind of sometimes do that different for smaller stuff. Sometimes they charge more for the smaller stuff, but then when they get to like the automobiles and heavy equipment or something, they do a different percentage, you know? So we need to know what the percentage is on like autos and if there's a breaking point on how much dollar it is. So like I said, I don't have a problem doing that. The sheriff and the highway superintendent need to be in on it, and they need to see what's being charged. And
I know what they charge us.
You do?
Yeah, for them to do this.
Well, is he not different?
Well, that, they may do something, they probably do something different on the smaller items. We, I know the sheriff's department's done like some old radio equipment, some light bars and that kind of stuff.
Yes.
But most of ours are bigger vehicles, so they're a set percentage, but then we have options of either the buyer can pay it all or we can split 50-50 and there's options out there.
You hit something, the nail on the head. We need to know if they're charging buyer's premium too.
Buyer's premium?
Yeah. And is this person a licensed auctioneer by any chance?
No.
Okay. Sounds like there's a little more information we need. I'll make a motion that we look into it, but I'll go ahead and table it for tonight.
Okay.
Get us a contract.
Online too.
Yes.
Probably wise to having talked to the highway superintendent and the sheriff. To make sure that's something they want to do. Have their, is, and if he's doing like absolute, it sells no matter what, that might be a problem.
Well, then we, I mean, anything we can't sell or is trash, then we can just get rid of.
Yeah, and then instead of our vehicles, we can set a minimum reserve.
I mean, something reasonable.
Right.
What do you think, Sheriff?
We're good with doing ours.
Your own?
Yeah, we'll take care of it.
You take care of your own? You don't want nothing to do with that?
Nope.
Okay.
Okay.
He's unanswered that. What about you, Highway Superintendent?
In the past, we've done our own, but we can see what they have available.
What percentage did you pay?
What we did in the past couple of years ago was we took the option of 50-50, where we paid part of the fee, the buyer paid part of the fee, and it seemed to go well. But they were kind of suggesting that from now on, we just let the buyer pay the whole commission.
Do you remember what that was?
It was a total, I think we were at a total of 12%. But by doing their route, we probably got, most vehicles, we probably got double what we get just advertising locally. Because some of our truck, one of our trucks actually went to California. They paid freight to have somebody come pick it up and haul it off.
Okay, so Commissioner Sanders made a motion to continue this. And what I would say is I will second that with a caveat that as long as he's able to do the discovery that he thinks is necessary so we can vote on it so it doesn't go into the abyss. We could just vote on it next time. So does that gives you enough time?
They're the ones that need to produce the paperwork from him.
But I mean, you know, or should we just continue until like next year?
I'm fine. Next year?
If they get all the paperwork.
I'm just saying.
And they get the numbers.
You know, as long as you get it and you like it.
I just want to look at the numbers.
Second.
They have a motion and a second. We're in discussion. Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. I think that would be quite beneficial to the county to get rid of this unused stuff. It might generate a few bucks. It's always helped. Okay. EMA. 2024 total solar eclipse declaration, vent commander operations, burn bans.
I'm on the phone.
CI.
Okay, he's up above.
Did you get the updated version from the lawyer?
Yes, I reviewed the updated version from Mr. Hoyoga. He had made some changes to the precise codes, Indiana codes that involve declaration and appointment.
Okay. I'm going to do my best to read this.
Okay.
We talked about this the other day, that we need a vote on it. It's a disaster emergency proclamation relating to the April 8th, 2024 total solar eclipse, Brown County, Indiana, 20th of March, 24. Whereas on April 8th, 2024, Brown County, Indiana will be in direct line of a total solar eclipse that will transverse across North America. And whereas this event is expected to see the population, Brown County, Indiana, which is approximately 15,000, double, if not triple, in size throughout the days leading up to and including the day of the event. leading to extreme traffic congestion, enormous strain on first responder organizations, hospital systems, food, grocery, and fuel shortages, along with city and county infrastructure, threatening the safety of all residents, and whereas the Brown County Commissioners have determined that extraordinary measures must be taken to protect the health, safety, and welfare of Brown County residents and visitors that may be impacted because of the April 8th, 2024 solar eclipse. And whereas the Brown County Commissioners, in consultation with emergency management, law enforcement officials, fire, and emergency medical services, has determined that the potential exists for roads, streets, and highways to be stressed and above capacity during certain times of the event. And whereas the potential stress and overcapacity of city, county, state, federal streets, roads, and highways may create a public safety event whereby law enforcement and fire and emergency service officers will be impeded by responding to calls and services. And whereas the Brown County Commissioners urge all residents of Brown County to stay home if they can, avoid driving if possible, ensure all vehicles are filled with fuel the week leading up to this event, and ensure sufficient groceries and supplies are purchased well in advance, and take all cautionary measures to ensure the safety of all persons and animals in their care. Whereas the Brown County Commissioners have incorporated the National Incident Management System, Incident Command System, NIMS/ICS, structured to all emergency plans and identified the term event commander as identified individual given authority by delegation or obligation in accordance with NIMS ICS period. Whereas mass casualty incident, MCI, is recognized as a local emergency where the total number of requests for response and transport grossly exceed the local capacity for resources. Our coordination of resources to, in order, provide sufficient response and transport. Now, therefore, be it declared by Brown County, Indiana, we, the Brown County Board of Commissioners, declare pursuant to the provisions of IC 10-14-3.5-2, comma, that the state of emergency exists in the county and that we hereby invoke and declare those portions of Indiana Code which are applicable to the conditions and have caused the issuance of this proclamation to be in full force and effect and county for the exercise of all necessary emergency authority for protection of the lives and property of the people of Brown County. We also declare Mr. Christopher Henderson, serving as elected chair of the Brown County Emergency Management Advisory Council and as elected chair of the Brown County Local Emergency Planning Committee, will serve as the recognized event commander, duly authorized and empowered to make emergency management-based resource prioritizations on utilization decisions during the period of the declaration stated below. As event commander, Mr. Henderson is authorized to coordinate with Brown County Dispatch, Brown County Emergency Management, and Indiana University Lifeline Emergency Medical Services to prioritize and expedite the response and subsequent transport of patient and prioritize and expedite the backlog of requests for emergency medical transport. Now, here's something that you need to really pay attention to, Chad. We also declare that we authorize, and it needs to be followed to this line of wording. We also declare that we authorize and empower Mr. Henderson to make traffic assistance and coordination requests with Brown County Sheriff's Department and local volunteer fire departments to prioritize an expedient response and transport efforts. We also declare that upon the assessment of Mr. Henderson, his consultation from Brown County Emergency Management, Brown County Dispatch, Indiana University Lifeline, that a condition may become necessary to expand the emergency declaration to a mass casualty incident, MIC. Declaration whereby Mr. Henderson may formally notify the Indiana State Department of Homeland Security Emergency Operations Center, IDHS, EOC, and request life-saving resources directly from IDHS, EOC, on behalf of the Brown County Commissioners. We also declare that the duration of this declaration will exist from 0600 hours, 8th of April, 2024, until 0600 hours, 9th of April, 2024. Reference is hereby made to all appropriate laws, statute, ordinance, and resolutions, and particularly to the section 10-14-3.5-2 and 10.14-3.5-3 of the Indiana Code. All public officials and employees of Brown County are hereby directed to exercise utmost diligence and the discharge of duties required of them for the duration of the emergency and in execution of emergency laws, regulation, and directives, whether state and local, all residents are called upon to and directed to comply with necessary emergency measures to cooperate with public officials and disaster services forces in executing emergency operation plans and to obey and comply with lawful directions of properly identified officers. I want to reiterate those two. I'm not going to reread them, but Mr. Jenkins, I would like for you to talk with the sheriff because that needs to be followed to the T, the ones that I pointed out. And I guess it's open for discussion if you're interested.
Okay. Any discussion about it? I mean, it's long-winded, but it's necessary and it's been approved by our legal counsel. He made a few corrections to it, and it's all okay with him. So.
And we've had multiple meetings with the people, Chad, EMA, you know, the sheriff. I mean, so this is not like new news here.
And Mr. Chris Henderson, I think, is fully capable. He's been around here for 25 years with emergency services, and mm-hmm. I think he's well qualified. He's a good man, and I would be more than happy to entrust him to take this position and these duties. Anybody have anything else to ask or say?
This is Chad on the phone. I'm not sure the two specific sections Commissioner Sanders is referencing. I just want to point out, along our planning process, which has been 15 months, hundreds and hundreds of hours of all of our emergency services and public safety, we've got great support from volunteer fire departments, EMS, and most importantly, our sheriff's department, and the thankless job that his deputies are going to be performing on this day. The specific provisions that allow Mr. Henderson acting on behalf of prioritizing and coordinating transport does heavily rely on the sheriff's diligent dispatch. We have even further planning meetings with his dispatch folks just to ensure that the deputies who are on the road are just not caught unaware, that they're able to utilize not just the day-to-day communication systems that they implement, but additional communications resources we're trying to provide for them to ensure that we can prioritize the heaviest of the most dangerous life-saving situations. I personally am grateful. Being new to the county, I didn't intend to start my career here with such a big event, not even an incident, but I am grateful from the support from the Sheriff's Department, IU Lifeline, all of our fire departments who are volunteers, who are taking days off from work to be able to protect our residents, our visitors, our businesses, and create just a tremendous first impression for those who are coming into the county, maybe for the first time, and hopefully to bring them back. So Again, I've never experienced anything like this in my 20 years of emergency management, so I'm very grateful. So I appreciate you folks considering an emergency declaration of this point just to empower Commissioner Pittman said, a very well-qualified individual who is very familiar with the emergency medical situation of this county to be able to look after our residents, our visitors, and our first responders. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Chad. We appreciate what you do.
I just say follow up with the sheriff. It's pretty self-explanatory, and just as long as you follow that pretty much to the T, I don't think there'd be a problem.
Okay, we have a question back here. Come to the mic.
Sure.
You must see this turned on.
I turned it on beforehand.
Thank you.
Yeah, Dwayne Parsons, Brown County resident. Just to add to the mix, setup day is Saturday, April the 6th, for the early vote. And that'll be done out there at Eagle Park, I believe it's called. And then the first day of voting will be at 8 a.m. on Tuesday, the very next day. So they'll have to have access to get into the building on Saturday to set the machines up and test those out. And then on Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. would be the first voter. So
how's that going to work out?
Yes, that's kind of a question we need to look at. And the poll workers need to be there between an hour and 2 hours early. So we don't know whether this will be a ghost town or whether it'll still be the after Super Bowl party. You know, we don't, but we'll need access to that building and the parking area so they can get the trucks in, get the voting machines in, and then to get the people in at 8 o'clock and the poll workers around 6. So sorry to add to your mess, but
okay,
something we do need to look at because we have to have the polls open on time.
Yeah. And that's not election day, that's for early voting.
That's early voting, correct.
So when's your truck coming in?
Saturday.
Saturday.
Saturday they're going to unload the machines and
okay.
We'll get the poll set up. And then we have to be ready to go to pull the first lever at 8 a.m.
Okay.
So just something to add to your mix if you've got nothing to do.
Well, if it's possible, we'll get you there.
Yeah.
Not saying it's going to be possible.
That's what I mean, but it's something that we hadn't thought about before, because right now it's speculation. It may be a ghost town,
yeah.
Or it may be hardly anybody leaves, and with that big parking area out there, we don't know what it, you can't forecast it, but there will have to be access to that area.
I'm sure the public could understand that they can't get there and go to 8 o'clock.
You have not dealt with the polls. Thank you.
Thank you, Dwayne. Appreciate what you do, too. Okay, so we have the proposal in front of us here, and I think we've had discussion. Anybody else want anything?
I'll go ahead and make a motion to appoint Event Commander Mr. Henderson the authorization to coordinate on April 8th to the 9th.
And we're basically going to be approving the entire text that you've read.
Yes, it's just like I said, I want to reiterate that I'd like for him to talk to the sheriff on the two paragraphs that I pointed out.
But you're making a motion?
I made the motion. I made a motion for Mr. Henderson to serve as the electric chair.
And take everything you read into account.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I second that.
Motion and a second. Discussion. Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Ron, for reading that.
Sorry for the stumbles.
Now we have before us also from EMA a recommendation to institute a burn ban effective immediately and lasting until the 12th of April, which was past the eclipse. We have a very unseasonal dryness, lack of sufficient rains to saturate the region, spring winds quickly develop and carry embers away from fires. There have been numerous local brush fires due to the above conditions. There is an increased risk over the next 3 weeks due to a nationwide eclipse event drawing thousands into the county. So, once again, I've talked about this before, but you may not think it's dry. If you go out and pick up some leaves, they might even be damp. But if you dig down an inch or two, you'll see that it's very dry. We are in an absolute drought right now, and it looks to not get better for a while. So I'm certainly in favor of the burn ban. Now, this will not stop anybody camping from having a campfire. It's just got to be contained, and it's got to be monitored until it's completely out. So we're not shutting down all fires.
That's what we talked about in some of the meetings, was the fact that, you know, people are going to have little campfires. As long as they monitor those, that's fine. We're not talking, but we don't want anybody burning the field at this point in time. So,
no big bonfires, huh?
No big bonfires. However, Department of Natural Resources is in the business of burning off a lot of acres in Brown County this year. They sent me a letter because they're burning off 640 acres right next door to me. I hope it doesn't get out and burn my woods up. But who knows?
Didn't that happen out at the park here about a year or so ago?
Yeah, we had one cut out of hand. Yeah, I'm pretty sure of that. So, okay. Once again, any discussion about this? I don't think it's going to really inconvenience anybody very much. I'd entertain a motion to approve the burn ban.
I make a motion that immediately a burn ban goes into effect until the 12th of April. Do we want to put a time on the 8th of April?
Can.
Midnight?
Yeah, 12. 12 on that.
That's on the, you got the actual burn ban there? And it says when?
12, April 12th.
Says every 12th at the time.
It doesn't have a time.
No. Doesn't have a time.
You want to go midnight?
That's all day long. If it says the 12th, that means it's all day long.
Till midnight.
Oh, it says 9 a.m.
11, 15.
Until the reassessment.
No, I put 9 a.m. on there. That gives me time to come in at 6 and reach out to Noah. I work with Mr. Sam Lashley from Noah. I will consult with the fire chiefs. They're my first line. When I make this recommendation to you folks, I will reach out to the fire chiefs first. I work with Andrea at dispatch to take a look at what brush fire, grass fires we've been looking at. Last 2 weeks, we've seen a number of folks burning stuff on their property, but the wind is picking up those embers. So I put the 12th of April at 09, just to allow me a little bit of time to consult with the experts and make the most informed recommendation of you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, beyond that, we'll talk about
the motion. We need a second.
Well, yeah, we've got to do that. I'm sorry. You okay with that?
We just need to sign this one because it's a little different.
Oh, is that the upgraded one? Okay.
That's the burn ban.
This one is?
Yeah, it's the burn ban.
I didn't get the proclamation.
It's on the back.
It's on the back.
Sign on the back.
I think it's still the same as it was.
Okay, Ron, flip it over on the back and you'll see. There you go. So Ron made a motion, so we have to have a second. On the burn ban.
And specifically, what did you say, Commissioner Sanders, on the burn ban?
That for it to be in effect immediately.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I made a motion to go ahead.
And through the 12 or whatever stated on, okay,
9 a.m.
I'll second that.
Okay.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much. Now we're going to talk about the sirens in the county. We've had not a real good maintenance program, I'm afraid to say, but 22 years ago we put one up at Al's Body Shop, and it worked until the batteries went dead. Nobody ever came to service it, nobody took the initiative, nobody called anybody. It just died, it hasn't worked for several years now. We got a proposal earlier, maybe last year, to replace it for $25,000. But we contacted Don Weiss, a local here, who actually is in the business of installing and servicing these tornado sirens, or whatever you want to call them. And he's going to move it and put new batteries in it. I think he did it today, got the batteries, I know, for $5,000. So we don't need to buy another new $25,000. He also wants to reactivate the one at the fire department here in Nashville. Now, it's old, because I heard it go off at noon every Wednesday when I was in school in Nashville. That's been a long time ago.
Long time ago. Long time ago.
But he says there's nothing wrong with it, it just needs a battery.
Dang it, man. So, a battery crisis.
I think nothing to lose there. We have an operable one, I think, at, Chad, you might help us out on this, at, up around the Sweetwater area. Maybe you could tell us a little more about it. You've been talking to Don.
I'm kind of new here. The siren that's above the National Fire Department is pretty historic, and I understand and appreciate the, them wanting to keep that. We can add, not only put a battery in, but add a radio so it can still be activated just to help with our signal downtown. Moving the one from Al's garage up to the Overlook Tower, Beam Blossom Tower, is going to give us sound that we just don't have up there yet. We do have a signal at Corridor Sweetwater. We have one downtown. That's it. I have a larger plan that I'm going to ask you all for money for later, but the opportunity to
easy
do
boy.
This $5,000
easy.
And move that up there. I'm working very closely with the folks in Jackson Township on some opportunities to maybe even find funds and put one up around Treble Act. But our county is very unique. Don DeWeese had done a survey where they put electronic sensors in a computer and look at our terrain and find the best places for sirens in our county. We probably need a total of 6 sirens in our county based off our hills. People don't realize that the leaves, the trees themselves, they eat that signal up. The very things that bring people into our county are the very things that are keeping them, when they are outside, from getting a good warning that we have severe weather or tornado. So the move that you're proposing is certainly a good first step. And I even believe that putting a battery in a radio there at Nashville helps us with our sound. So
is $5,000 the number we need?
Sir, I'm aware that, frankly, I think Mr. DeWeese, he is a retired employee of Federal Signal. It's a Federal Signal that he's working on. I know that he's doing some things there. I do know that we had tried to reach out to some local businesses with a bucket to get them up to that tower. Whether it was a tiny consideration or the cost that was just involved, I'm aware at present that he may have incurred a personal cost to put himself in a bucket to even get up there and assess that. I don't have a figure for that, but I know that his initial quote was for the $5,000. There may have been another cost involved in him renting a bucket out of his own pocket.
Okay. So now, is there, and this is going to be moved up to Beam Blossom?
Yeah, I thought about moving the one at Al's up by the radio tower that we put up
right.
A couple years ago through the Sheriff's Department.
Okay. Service. Now, does that mean we have to cut every tree that's still left?
No.
I mean, if there is one left.
They're doing he's a clever fox. They're putting a collar around the top of it. Apparently, when it was put in, the reason why the batteries died and nobody touched it because the pole that was donated and put on was too high for normal ladders and buckets.
Yep.
So they're going to put a collar on it. They're going to cut it off at the bottom to the appropriate height. He's not looking to reinstall that Cyrus on the tower itself. He is looking to put that just outside the fence in a piece of property that's open. He's not cutting down trees to do it. He's very sensitive about that. So he's found an ideal spot. One of the largest considerations was him tapping into the electric panel there. I spoke with the sheriff about that, and he was fine with that move as well. All in all, I understand why the cost for a new siren and a new signal is $25,000 to $30,000. The fact that we have somebody locally, he's a Brown County resident, to come in and troubleshoot this to that level is probably one of the most extraordinary savings that we can do.
Okay. Very good.
Now, is there going to be a cost for the 220 line, or does he have that also? Is that going to be another?
Commissioner, that is included in his quote.
Okay. I'll go ahead.
Yeah, the only outstanding thing, and yeah, I'm going to be frank, he didn't even ask to amend the quote. Melissa asked me to send that on behalf of Mr. DeWeese today, his original quote to an invoice from the county. He had incurred that cost. He didn't even ask me to put that on there. I personally think it would be appropriate. I would love to get to see what his cost on that is and for him to add that quote. I'm not sure what that expense was, but I personally feel like it'd be appropriate to add that to the existing $5,000 quote.
So, do you think it's okay to go ahead and make the motion to approve the $5,000 contingent that the cost for the bucket truck is not exceedingly high? That is, you know, considered.
Probably talking about $250 to rent it for a day.
I'm okay with that. I don't know the number, so it's hard to.
I don't know the numbers either.
Okay, we'll just, when I get the number, bring it back in, and we'll go over it and approve, I guess.
Do the $5,000, and then they can come
bring that number back.
Yeah, that's fine. That's the motion.
We'll find
Commissioners, it. I can reach out to him immediately. I will. I'll give him a quick call and find out what that total cost was before you resolve this evening's session. I will have that total to you.
Okay.
So we'll go ahead and table just for a minute.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Chad.
Perfect.
I'm not aware of what MCI stands for.
It was should be in the agreement. Do you hand it back to me?
There you go. Yeah, it's a mass casualty incident.
There you go.
This is something that Chad was going to talk about.
Oh, okay. Chad, can you enlighten us?
I think he's done with hunting down the
Yeah.
We can come back to it.
But I feel like what we've heard from him in the past is that this is an event, so we can't get certain resources, but if it becomes a mass casualty, then there's other resources that can come in to it. So
they can be requested.
Right.
The problem would be getting them here.
Well, that's the thing, too. It's like if we have, like, you know, God forbid, you know, a big fire or a big shooting, you know what I'm saying, and then it becomes a mass casualty, it's a different thing than just an event.
Right.
Well, in that case.
I'm back on.
Okay. Thank you, Chad.
So sorry, I dropped off real quick to call Mr. DeWeese. The okay. cost for the bucket truck was
$295. There you go.
Commissioner Pittman nailed that in the ballpark. He must have rented a bucket truck recently. Regarding MCI, mass casualty incident, I thought I was negative. I'm grateful for Commissioner Wolford for going through the possible things that could cause that. I guess there's any number of things that institute an MCI. The important things to consider that it's not one single event, it's not one single incident or occurrence. What we're looking at in the authorization, which would be that there is a total volume that dispatch, that Brown County dispatch on any given day looks at and requests to dispatch the two ambulances that are present in the county. EMS is working, excuse me, to expand that capability. Courtney Sweetwater will be staffing a BLS ambulance, and in order to provide supplies and immediate support to other incidents, I'm aware that IU Lifeline is authorizing our current IU Lifeline supervisor, Dave Prinzmeyer, to staff what they call a chase truck. So regardless of the flavor, if you will, of a mass casualty incident, what is placed upon Mr. Henderson, we'll also have Corey Frost, who is a certified EMT, who represents Brown County's emergency medical response, as well as representative from Indiana Department of Health, to be able to prioritize and look at transport times, where our ambulances are. Most importantly, if we do have a traffic situation, where are those deputies that may be able to help get, you know, an ambulance in there? The declaration of a mass casualty incident allows the county to just inform and tell Homeland Security, Indiana Department of Homeland Security, that we're tapped. We are doing the best we can to meet these priorities in the interest of life safety. We already know, just like we know that that's a wheel that's going to fall off for us, it's a wheel that's going to fall off for the state, but it does give us the ability to go ahead and allow you to declare that, to push that to Homeland Security, to put that red flag up. There have been no monies. I heard a mention of monies or funding. Because this is an event, there's been no federal funding, no state funding. I am so relieved and blessed that through the CBC, the CBB put a grant, if you will, or funding out for us. They awarded EMA $14,000. I am purchasing 5 AEDs and 5 trauma supply bags. Those will be located at the largest events that are occurring in the county so that they're pre-positioned. And Mr. Frost, Corey Frost from our health department, our ESFA coordinator, he has been conducting training on stop the bleed, CPR, you know, a number of things to prepare those folks for that event while they're waiting for our responders. So one thing I'd like to point out, I know that no money from FEMA, from HHS, whether from federals or state, has been identified. These costs that we are incurring, my request to the commissioners for the siren is that we are going to have a lot of people in our county up in an area that we don't have a tornado siren. While we are finding ways to fund that, there may be something that occurs down the line that says, what did you all experience or have to pay for out of pocket? And perhaps, you know, after that, if we have declared, if you have approved and declared a mass casualty incident, we can document that. And if that occurs statewide, we know we're not the only ones in that boat. If that does occur, maybe the state looks at that and says that, yeah, we should probably do some reimbursement.
Okay. Very good. Well, I appreciate your explanation there. And I think we need to finish up on the siren.
Do I need to include tax in the 295?
No, because we're tax exempt.
Okay. So I make a motion for $5,295 for the moving of the tornado siren from Owl's Body Shop to the Overlook, where the 911 tower is, to be done as soon as possible.
Second.
Motion to second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, stellar grant opportunity. I think Melissa may tell us something about
Alice is here from the Community Foundation, too.
Oh, oh, yeah, okay.
You haven't met our new Community Foundation Director. Here she is, this is Alice.
And she's an all-star.
Yes, she is. Okay, all right.
You did a great job.
All right, so the Stellar Path programs was announced to us when we went to the Commissioners Conference at the end of the year, this last year. They said that Stellar would be coming back. It was here in 2011. They had done a couple of projects, not here in our county, but other counties, and then COVID hit and it was suspended. And they have brought it back again now. And in lieu of that, we were invited to go to two trainings on March the 4th and the 5th. In those trainings, we were told that we needed to establish a region, and the region needed to be government, it needed to be a municipality, and a local would either be RDC or your community foundation that creates your region. And to have the region, you have one or two ways. The county government, which is voted in by the county commissioners, has to be a total all through vote, all three commissioners. If that goes through, then that makes the county government the head of the region. And then the town council will be the municipality they will vote in, and then the community foundation will vote it in. If you do not vote in the Stellar as all three of you, then that also, it brings us to the dance, but we're not allowed to participate. We would not be able to do any of the projects that we need to do in the county. The town would still be able to do theirs, and the foundation would be able to assist with that. What we would do, we would be the funneling of the funds like we do with the transit rule, where the money comes through us but goes to the Y to be done. Stellar Pathways program, there's a number of entities that come together. This is a multi-million dollar grant opportunity. The bad thing about it is it's a stop clock. Click, and it's time to go. We have to make a commitment letter by May 1st. And in that commitment letter, we would outline projects that we are looking at currently right now, because Oprah said to us in our training that we need to pick projects that you are already looking for funding for, that you've already started the studies, got the studies, you already know needs to be done in your community. Do not try to pull something like a rabbit out of a hat, something that you've not discussed with people before. And so the projects that we're looking at and entertaining correct right now are the first one would be wastewater. So the wastewater in our community, as we already know, that we have found in our rivers, creeks, and streams, and in our ponds, and in our lakes, that we have human DNA, E. coli, that exists because our septic systems fail. This grant could possibly bring us money to repair, enlarge, and provide treatment plants that already exist. They will not put in new, and they will not put in new infrastructure. They will also provide a chance for us to get septic systems repaired or redone or in existing homes. It can't be for new homes. The second project would be for, we have a bike and pedestrian trail that we've been working on along with the Salt Creek Trail, and repairing the walks in Nashville, the sidewalks, to make, especially the one with the most focus would be in front of the courthouse. But they would be doing all of the sidewalks in Nashville. They have not been done in the Main Street project. And then the third one would be the health and well-being of our historical courthouse, which means that where the bricks are falling apart and we need new windows and those sorts of things. And they also get rid of blight. But the true gift with the Stellar Pathways program is they have recognized that the rural areas do not have a lot of money to have a lot of match money. So this time around, they're letting us use other grant monies that we already have, donated land that we would receive. You could use these things to help with your match money. What the total amount of all that would be, we do not know until the final projects are done. The letter of intent, I will let Alice go with that, and she can explain that, and the timeline and how that all falls in place.
Thank you. So as Melissa mentioned, I think the greatest opportunity would be for a project that would be led by the county. That gives us the greatest opportunity for the funds. The funds come from many different sources, Office of Community and Regional Affairs, OCRA. The Indiana Department of Health is one, NDOT, ISDA, and DNR. So there are 7 different funders, so quite a few different opportunities. As with any grant opportunity, there are restrictions and guidances depending on what organization you're working with, and the match piece is a part of that. Some have absolutely no match requirements, some have small, say 10%, I think up to 20% in one instance. So what we're partnering as the community foundation is we're trying to serve as kind of a connector to funding opportunities, understanding the needs of the county. That is what we do, is to try and give back to the county. So knowing what those needs are, we try to match where those projects might match with funding funding sources. So things like, you've heard of probably Ready and Ready 2.0, that comes from ROI, Regional Opportunities Initiative, that's funded by Indiana Economic Development Corporation. You might have heard of GIFT, Giving Indiana Funds for Tomorrow, that is funded by Lilly Endowment and so forth. So when we hear about various projects that might meet and match some of those funding opportunities, we consider it, I consider it, our job as the foundation to bring those parties together to just explore the opportunity. So as Melissa mentioned, if the commissioners were to vote to move forward with this, then the next step would be a letter of intent on May 1st to OCRA. And that letter of intent would outline the proposed projects, and this would not be without some guidance and so forth from our regional representative from OCRA, who has offered to come to the county and take a look at those projects, kind of instruct and advise on, I'd include this, I wouldn't that, I would stress that, and how best to structure a letter of intent. A letter of intent is just that. This is what we would intend to do. That happens May 1st. In June, they would let us know if we were 1 of 4 Stellar Pathways recipients. Those recipients each receive $50,000 for the purpose of putting together an investment plan. Essentially, it's an operational plan. And that would then go from June until November, at such time that would be submitted. And then that's when OCRA and all the various funding partners would come and actually look at these projects. So it's a multi-step process. Melissa mentioned that the piece about it being, you know, it could be split. That is not unlike most all of the funding opportunities. So what I would say to that is, our goal is to work collaboratively with, you know, all entities in the county so that we can be aware of what some of the needs are. And when these funding opportunities come up, they have an on-ramp that's typically, you know, a few months at most. And, you know, then we can work quickly to try to put our best foot forward. We do believe that submitting a letter of intent
is just that. It's a letter of intent, knowing that we may or may not get selected. We did specifically ask OCRA representative, you know, is it best to take another year to, you know, more fully develop and support some of these proposals? Their advice was to move forward, and even a no response gets us in better stead in terms of connecting us with some additional funders, perhaps. So even if the answer to Stellar is no, or not no, not yet, or no, not now, it may be that others might say, or folks within the review committee might say, have you checked out this available funding opportunity? So, you know, I'd say if there's a downside, it's a timetable. And I think it's, Melissa mentioned, the idea would be to be, one, fully transparent about what we're thinking, not go in with anything set in stone, solid, listen to citizens as to what they believe, you know, the greatest needs are, but that also has to be matched with the funding opportunities and projects that are essentially ready to go. So nothing new and no, you know, new ideas at that point.
Thank you very much. Short time frame, we jumped on this as soon as we learned about it. We knew it was coming from last fall, but the state didn't actually offer us the opportunity to give us the wherewithal about it and the deadline of May 1st to submit a letter of intent. So we've been working pretty feverishly on it because it's a great program. It could do a lot for Nashville and the county. And it's an excellent opportunity to get some money that we could use for some projects that we have on the table. So,
as I said in the meeting with the council today, I said this is a great opportunity for Pfluger and Clark and Company to jump on the bandwagon, because the chances of us being able to fund the Indian Hill thing are nil. But this is what our new finance guy calls pennies from heaven, and there could be enough money to, you know, take care of the things that need to be taken care of out there. So I'm just saying that that would be a position you might want to, you know, get behind.
Okay. Is this something we're going to vote on tonight? Or?
Yeah. You need to, so we can decide on whether or not, how the entities are going to delay.
Okay.
So you made the motion on everything else, Commissioner Sanders. This would be a good time to make one now.
Questions?
You can entertain a question?
Yeah, you have a question?
Yeah.
Sure, come to the microphone.
Yeah, my question, Tim Clark. My question is on the selection of projects. It'd be nice to have some criteria. Are these supposed to be county specific, good for everybody? Whatever that criteria you want to identify, because like Salt Creek Trail, there's a ton of projects that were listed when people were brainstorming. I didn't see those on there. And wastewater, we've got $39 million for that, so I don't know specifically what we're going to get. Don't know that we have any documentation, any failed septic systems. We speculate that we may have some. So I just suggest just a criteria. How do you select these projects, and why is wastewater on there versus Salt Creek Trail, or versus, you know different outdoor kind of things? That's it. Just criteria. Just write them down. Weight them. Say, hey, here's how we came up with the list. Maybe invite the public is to weigh in on what they think important projects for all of the county would be.
I did pass out in the meeting the other day, and I was in there over here, and I forgot to mention that, and I'm sorry. There's a black squared piece of paper that looks like this. We will be having county input from all the citizens that would like to attend. If you would like to attend, or if you know of anyone you feel should attend, let us know, because we'll be making phone calls and we will be contacting people. We will be doing town hall meetings and round circle talks between that in April before we submit the letter.
Good, I'll be glad to promote that on social media as much as I can, but again, the number one reason is why these projects, why not these projects, and what criteria we're using, and let people debate on what they think is important for everybody. So I thought this was supposed to be quality of life, quality of place, whatever that is, was a priority. Hate to tell you, wastewater doesn't jump out at you, it's something that's gonna benefit everybody again. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. Randy?
Yeah, just one observation.
Microphone.
I wasn't counting on saying anything about, or observing anything about the STELA program, but as I read through this, these sheets and listened to what was said, it occurs to me that the crossing is already really visible with NDOT and with IDNR. Each one of those has a dog in this fight. Not only that, but the crossing has already been written about extensively. You already have the language for this at your disposal. So if you were in a hurry to get through, to clock through grants, and you needed to do the writing and the vetting of whether it's truly useful, this has already been done. You have the language at hand, okay? So it's a,
the one thing that we were, we did speak with, I believe it was DNR, or NDOT one, because we were wondering about funding, and they said that they don't do the reconstruction of the railroad part, but they would do signage, and they would do stop arms and those sorts of things on the trail, and so for Indian Hill. So that's, we definitely were looking into that.
Yeah, and I'm not, to that point, not to extend this, but to that point, I'm not sure, even though I read at least, through at least one time the NDOT decision, where exactly the most expensive of the mechanical additions are, whether there's arms that are within the right-of-way that the county would not necessarily be addressing at all, but still need to be funded, or whether these arms you're talking about are external to the right-of-way and the county would have some control over that. Are, do you know the answer to that?
I know that I have spoke with a gentleman the other day who was explaining to me about the different stock arms and those sorts of things. I have not read the information on that, but that doesn't mean that it's not open for discussion. We have a council member who is very dedicated to seeing this project, and he is going to provide us that information.
It seems to some extent that the that moving forward with this particular project within this framework of STELA, or any others for that matter, if I mistake things, needs the PER, preliminary engineering report done. And once those are in hand, I think everything's acted on.
Right. And I mean, I certainly appreciate the fact that when we were up in Danville and we talked to the folks that were, I mean, this is not going to be something we're going to get the money anytime soon, but this is like the first the hoop we have to go through. Alice, Melissa, Sandy Jones from the town, everybody was very diligent in trying to do. But we're basically today what we're doing is we either keep the ball rolling or we kill it right now, because they basically said if you don't have buy-in from all three commissioners, it's dead. And there's plenty of time to do what that little sheet that Melissa had there. We're going to have everybody be able to come through and do yip, yip, yip. But, you know, when they're giving out money, which I don't like that phrase, but this is just the first hurdle of many. And so that's where we're at today.
We do have a gentleman coming down shortly, I think, involved with this program to look at things that we have.
Yes, have on, Jared, on the he is our representative from STELA.
Yeah, okay.
And Alice has been in contact with him.
Yeah.
And he has said that he would come down and go through the project. So when we were looking at Salt Creek Trail, one of our ideas was to actually see if Kevin would let us go to the Seasons and sit up there on that deck and take, you know, do one of the drones and fly over and see where the rest of the trail is going to go, give them an idea, get out, walk the sidewalks here in town, look at the trails, look at where it's going to go through the properties, let him see take him out to Nalbone and let him see the facility at Nalbone and get explanations and to talk with regional sewer districts and to look at everything, look at the overwalk and where it might lay, or do we just need a push button? This is where he will come in and say, maybe, just like Alice said, no, we won't do this, but hey, yeah, let's put this in. And so he gave us some pointers just sitting there with us in that afternoon. He, of course, he's our cheerleader. He's the one that wants to see us get it because we would be the ones in his region. So it's just one of those things where you have to try.
This is a situation where we put in a letter of intent, and then we see whether we get into the final four at the end of the year, and then next January, I think you're going to narrow it down to two that actually get money.
That's right.
So it's kind of a long shot, but I think we're in a good position because Brown County, Nashville is the premier tourist spot for people to come to. State Park, 16,000 acres, and all the rest that we have here, the music center, all the shops in town, et cetera, Yellowwood and so forth. So I think we're in a good position to make an application for this. I think the state really wants to do something for us. I was just thankful that they invited us once again because the last time they did, it didn't turn out well. So we want to try to make it work well this time. It's a great opportunity. Yeah, Clint?
Yes, Clint Studebaker. Jerry, I want to echo what you just said. The Brown County as a whole is known as a place to come and visit. We have a tourism industry that's as strong as it can be. And they come for our state park. They come for Yellowwood. They come for the rivers and streams. And I want to correct a misstatement about there's no problem with our rivers and streams. We've got 136 miles of waterways in the county that have been designated by the Indiana Department of Environmental Management item as impaired. They're impaired with E. coli. And the term impaired implies, through item, that from the period of April 1 through October 31, those streams are limited for exposure to people being in the waterways, full body contact. That's a significant impact on a county that's known as a tourism county to come and enjoy our great outdoors. There's 136 miles of impaired streams in that great outdoors county. That's a black eye to this community. And we can do something about that. We can work on water quality. We can work on how do we improve that home at a time or community at a time. And I think this particular opportunity is a good one to at least research the availability of those funds. We've got other things that we're doing similarly. We're looking for other funds, but this might be just a capstone to us. And I just wanted to make sure everybody understood that 136 miles is a lot of waterway. Thanks.
Thanks, sir. Appreciate your input. All you people input. Jimmy, do you have something for us?
Jimmy's always got something for us.
Thanks. First, I have a quick question on, I know that we've talked about the public match being satisfied this year. That's big. Do we know if that same will apply for next year, if they have Stellar next year, or we don't know yet?
We don't know yet.
So, this year we can do it. We don't know about next year. It might cost us more money next year, so we probably want to try our best to get this thing done this year. I have been encouraged by a lot of the recent cooperation I've seen from different departments in our both the county and the Nashville level and local businesses. I see some cooperation and some teamwork that I have not seen in a while, and it's really good. And I hope that cooperation can continue tonight, that we can all be on board with doing something, some things that we already know we need to get done, projects that we know are a priority for our county. I'd love for our county to get at least a chance just a chance to get some of these things done that we already know we need. And I think Stiller is going to allow us to do these things well, not just a little bit, but do them well. And we need to present that we're a county that does things well for our tourists and for people who live in our community. So I am fully supportive of Stiller. And as far as the timeline goes, yeah, we don't have a lot of time, but everybody else is in the same position. So that might actually come to our advantage if we can get on this thing. Because everybody else is probably spinning their wheels a little bit like, we'll just wait till next year. Well, if we can sneak in now and everyone else is going to wait till next year, we might have a better chance.
Very true. I agree with you. It will be a long-term project. If we get chosen, we'll have 4 years to complete the projects that we select to fund with this money. So yeah. It's a long-term project.
And we just purchased our family farm. It's been in our family since 1890 last week. And we are fully supportive of seeing some really great trails to connect from the town to Deer Run Park. And Stiller will make this happen well.
Congratulations on that acquisition.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much.
Just have a follow-on item. So just to address your comments, Commissioner Pittman, about the last time Stiller came through, I know, you know, being new to the position, you as a full-time resident in the county, when I first heard Stiller, I was like, wow, I think I've heard about this, and it wasn't viewed positively when I first heard about it. So my first question, this kind of goes to Mr. Clark's comments, was what happened and how can we prevent, you know, that going forward? So just another shout out to transparency and bringing mm-hmm. folks together to understand what it is, isn't. And that there have been no decisions on the, you know, specific projects. Nothing has been determined yet. We said that was one of the issues from the last time was well-meaning, but maybe there wasn't as much opportunity to gain buy-in from the citizens. And even though we know the time frame is short, we do recognize that. So that literally was my first question, was what happened and how can we make sure that doesn't happen again? So I think, I know we, from a community foundation perspective, are really committed to ensure that those types of convenings happen and give folks the opportunity to understand what the criteria are. And I think some of the top criteria that we've discussed are, you know, no surprises, things, projects that folks would not be surprised to hear, projects that would benefit as many people in the county and all.
Okay, thank you very much. I think we've had a lot of discussion about it. I think time for a vote, the commissioners, whether they want to do this or not.
I'd like to have, I think it would be wonderful if Commissioner Sanders made the motion.
I'd rather study it for the next year and get it right. I'd like to have public support. I'd like to have the projects identified.
That's going to kill it.
That's not going to kill it. They can, the foundation can still go with the town.
It'll kill it for us.
Can you not?
No. It'll kill it for the county.
It'll kill it for our matches.
I'll go ahead and make a motion that we proceed with this.
Do I hear a second? I'll second your motion. Any discussion?
It will kill it for this year, and it may not come back next year. We have an opportunity right now. I can speak for our property, but our property, we're happy for this thing. We're excited for it. We want it. But if you don't do it, then I think the project's kind of a little more limited to the town stuff. Yeah. And you can't connect the town to Deer Run Park without the trail. So if you kill it now, you're killing the trail. So if you're for the trail, you might want to just take the next step. Just this one step to get the authorization for the letter.
Okay.
This is not the end of it.
It's not.
There's ample opportunity to, you know, this is, we're just trying to get the 50 grand to look at it.
And we need that anyway, even if we don't get it. We need to get it.
It's a golden opportunity for Brown County.
It would be a shame if we put the brakes on now. It'd be a real shame.
Why would you want to put it off for a year and possibly lose the entire deal?
I believe the Brown County Community Foundation and the town can still pursue it.
The county will get nothing out of it then.
If they're doing stuff inside town, we will.
No, our projects for the county will not be approved. They won't give us any money whatsoever.
It won't do the courthouse and they won't do our sidewalks.
If I may, the opportunity now, if the county approves it, puts you in the lead. And it gives you an opportunity by being in the lead to kind of manage the activity and where it goes. A little stronger anyhow. Still a team. It's a team with the county, Nashville, and the foundation. If you don't approve it now, then you're not in the lead. The town steps up and takes that. And the project activity will be more or less limited in that fashion. And I would think that from the county perspective, you have very little to lose and a whole lot to gain by being in that position of leadership in the teaming effort. And at this stage, that's what you're doing. You're just putting yourself in that position by this approval to get a letter of interest in and then see where that goes. But at least in that process, you're managing it. You're leading the effort. So I would highly encourage you to reconsider this.
And I don't think a letter commits us to specific projects at this time. I think that's a step after. But I think the letter is just our intent. I'm correct.
Right.
It's just the intent to want to be more in control of the thing and see some good things come to our county, not just downtown Nashville.
You want to sabotage it, Mr. Commissioner?
Pardon?
You want to sabotage it then, Mr. Commissioner?
I'm not sabotaging anything. I want to move forward in the next year and get it right.
We don't have next year.
No,
Tim Clark, come here at the microphone. Tell us what you think about this project. You're running for commissioner. Let's hear your position on it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well, your term is political.
I mean, it's not political. I'm asking for his opinion.
If he wants to speak, he's welcome to speak.
I'm asking him to. He doesn't have to. Sure, I'd like to know what he thinks about it. He's a prominent citizen in the community and wants to be involved in...
Yeah, Ron, I share your concern. I think I remember Stellar 2014 pretty well. Remember the way it went. Lack of transparency, disrespect for the people that protested. I call them heroes. You call them derogatory names. I don't think you were aware of the issues they were protesting, but yet you continue to make derogatory comments.
You know everything I know then.
And Ron, I tell you, my concern is pretty similar to yours. You say give it a year and then flush it out and see where the trust, and there is mistrust. You know, there's mistrust among you guys on the board. Don't like seeing that. Don't like hearing about it. I like to see more cooperation among the commissioners. But, and then my concern, Ron, is like yours probably. I like to see transparency. I like to see trust. I don't want to see this thing hijacked so that, you know, the favorite projects make it up to the top despite public opinion, despite public input. So if all we're doing for a May letter is say, hey, we have the intent, if the process is transparent, people have a chance to say something, projects are selected and everybody kind of understands that it made sense for the projects that were selected, things that benefit everybody, and I think that criteria would be absolutely critical. And if you get that kind of public input and that input is taken and there's an objective, rational process for selecting these kinds of projects and we know what the full life cycle of these projects are going to be, then I'm in support of it. But I would really want to know what happens after May and thereafter. And we don't have that transparency, we don't have that trust, we have these special projects making it up to the top without public input, without that feedback, then how do we get out of it and push it to next year? So that would be my caveat. is I want to make sure it's honest, it's trustworthy, it's ethical process, everybody has a say. We prevent the stuff that we had in Stellar that people still remember, and it's a sore point, and again, it's all about the process. So we can say, yeah, we've got the letter of intent, but yeah, we've got an exit strategy. If none of these promises are kept, I'm all for it.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your input.
Could you make a motion that would do that?
Okay.
Could we make a motion? I mean, Alice, how does that work? Could you make a motion to do a letter of intent with the intent that we will be transparent and have everybody's input and come up with the projects? And then if that doesn't fall through, then they can move to
whatever they want, whatever type of condition. That's not.
So if you made a motion.
There's a motion and a second right now on the table. And we just had Clark tell Sanders he thought it was a good idea.
After all that rumbling was made him say,
so his constituency said it was a good idea.
As long as it's
more than disrespect. That's the kind of attitude that turns people off.
You have been recognized, sir.
And there it is.
Let's be civil about it, but I think we're missing a tremendous opportunity here. And there's plenty of time for people to understand the program. All we need to do is get this letter of intent put in, and, you know, we can always bail out. We don't have to carry through with it. I mean, what's to lose?
Let's end this. I'm a no vote.
All right.
So noted.
Thank you.
You just became the most popular person in Brown County.
Number one.
No trade-off. Next thing on the agenda. Eclipse Parking and County Annex, County Courthouse lots.
No trouble still.
So we tabled this from the last meeting. Reasoning why was because we wanted to get some more input. We did find out that the local businesses in the community ended up getting another parking lot, and so they don't need our parking lot. So there has been some nonprofits that have asked to use our lot, and so I would just like the permission to go on ahead and let nonprofits use it from the community.
So moved. So moved.
Okay. Everybody else okay?
Any discussion? All in favor, raise your right hand.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign. How are you voting, Mr. Senate?
I don't say
aye.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. And then the second thing that, the next thing is on here, in front of you, and there has been some that's out here, this will be in everyone's mailbox. Remember how we had the money for COAD to send out a postcard?
Right.
So the postcards have been done, and they will be arriving in people's mailbox within the next week. And it's how
this
to prepare
is what they'll
for
be getting on it'll be postcards.
Right.
It's two-sided.
And so it's how to prepare for the total solar eclipse, and it's avoid commuting. There will be a crowd. They were talking about people refilling their prescriptions, get medical supplies, food and gas, have essential items such as batteries, flashlights, charge all mobile devices, and note the cell service may be diminished.
And this is going out to everybody in the county?
Everybody in the county.
So moved. Okay. Move to go ahead and send this out to everybody in the county.
Have.
Okay.
You guys already voted on it.
Okay.
I just wanted you to see what it looked like.
Thank you.
All
that's
right.
Great.
And
next.
The next thing is the comprehensive plan grant opportunity. We met today with ADA, and they were very happy to work with us. They wanted to let us know that they are going to take it back to their board and vote whether or not to offer us a contract to be able to work with ADA, and they are a company that works with grants. This comprehensive plan grant opportunity that Planning and Zoning is looking at right now is a $60,000 grant with a match of $6,000. And so they were in hopes that they could get this voted through so they would be able to further their grant opportunity. So it would be that we would have to have a match of $6,000.
$6,000?
Yes.
And where would we find that money?
Well, we would probably have to have it appropriated through council. And
Under a rock somewhere.
So.
Well, it's desperately needed.
Yes, we have to have a comprehensive plan in order to. We have one, but we need to have it updated.
Yeah, it's pretty abbreviated.
Right.
Okay. Entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
You're a second? I'll second the motion. Any discussion? Hearing none? All in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
Abstain.
And then in your paperwork, there is HVAC systems. DLZ has given the final report. It has been emailed to you, and then I made copies. If you would like to go over that, we would be looking for 62,000?
I think 64.
Or $64,000 for us to do the scope of work, which is like an RFP, but this one would be for the top of the jail, for the units that are on the top of the jail, which they look for that to cost between $900,000 and $1 million to replace the rooftop units. So at this point, it would be up to you guys on what you want to do and where you want to move with it. We haven't had much discussion on it. We knew it was coming. The main thing that I guess that is my concern is that I spoke with the maintenance team, and that means that when summer comes, which is coming off and on daily, that we do not have the liquid, whatever that is that goes into
R22.
There you go. We do not have about 1 gallon left of that, and then we'll be out and they can't get any more. So what will happen at that point? So the DLZ is telling us that this is going to take quite a while for us to be able to bid it out, get the bids back in, and move forward with it. So that would mean that we would need to move forward with the bond as well.
I have some questions about this deal we've been offered from DLZ. I think Ron does too.
Okay.
First of all, it's an awful lot of money, in almost everybody's opinion. $64,000 to do a study on whether we need to replace the air conditioner.
It's not to do it. They've already done the study. That's what that is. The $62,000 is to advertise and set out the bids for the companies to bid off of. It's the scope of work.
Whoa.
That's what that's for.
When did we ever approve a $64,000 study?
We haven't, no.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
What you approved was for DLZ to go look at the air conditions and write this up for you.
Yeah.
Okay, they said that was going to be somewhere between $8,000 and $12,000.
I heard three or four.
Okay, whatever. And
what
then
they've already done?
For what you have in your
right,
hand.
Yeah.
Okay. The $64,000 would be for them to do what they call scope of work, or an RFP, where they put it out, they advertise it, they bring in the bids, just like Mike does when he does paving, when he puts out his RFPs. That's what that's for.
They'll come in, put it up on the screen, have the contractors here for bid, they'll bid it. It's just like the courthouse, DLZ will manage it.
there's a couple things in here, and this starts getting kind of complicated on applying for bonds. It says that it's assumed the existing capacities are sufficient unless told otherwise by the maintenance staff. And it comes back down here and says it is assumed there is no asbestos present in the associated insulation. That's kind of assuming that. I just think this needs tweaked a little bit.
Okay.
And we need to figure out where the $64,000 is coming from.
Yes.
Because if we go ahead and we're not quite ready to go for the bonds, because we haven't identified how much it's going to cost for the prosecutor office.
That's right.
And we haven't figured out how much it's going to cost to move the community correction office into the courthouse. I thought we identified some money for that.
It's still there.
But this construction cost is so crazy that $25,000-$30,000 might not do that down there. It sounds simple, but when you get into it,
that's correct.
And they have to get a permit through the state because of the electrical. When we originally talked about the MAC units, they were $640,000. And that excluded the removal of the old ones and the starting of the old ones. So there was some more money involved. Now, there may be some stuff that they've looked at as far as electrical igniters and stuff to the jail. The jail is somewhat complicated.
Can you send me a list and email what you want them to
I'll work
break
on that.
Out? That would be great.
I'll work
then
on that.
We can
and
I'll
probably
DLC.
Give them a call, see if I can talk to them a little bit.
Okay.
As far as the bonds go, we're not there. To spend $64,000 just on this without being ready to move forward on the prosecutor office amount, you could end up spending $64,000 and basically not get anything. Because they're saying 10 weeks out to get the units, when before they were saying 22 weeks out to get the units. So I'd kind of like to wait on this and talk to some people. I'll go ahead and make a motion to table for 2 weeks and see if we can get it figured out.
Let's table it till next year when we, redo the...
there it is.
Well, I have serious concerns about the amount of this contract. I think $64,000 is totally ridiculous. And I want to pursue some other options, and one option that I have been apprised of is that there are some large contractors in Indianapolis that do this work all the time.
Okay.
And they might just have an engineer on staff who would do this work as part of the job.
Following up with what Jerry just said, the treasurer, we put like $863,000 into the general. I'm still trying to figure out the exact amount that come out of that for the trail. We're close. We did figure out about how much was in the trail fund. And it's almost $800,000, okay? And then we put the $66,000 from our 25% from the music center into the general. It'd be real nice to be able to figure it out to where we could put the AC units on the jail this year, move forward with what money we have. Because if you spend the $64,000, you need to be ready to move forward.
Right.
I have made a motion to table to
yes, sir.
Next meeting.
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
I hear a second. I'll second the motion to table to the next meeting. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Thank you very much. Mike, you're up. Highway update quickly.
Be very quick.
Yeah.
Okay, got three bullet points plus an item down below, but just an update for you. I think I mentioned at the last meeting that the state is now requiring on our anything with federal funds, or especially our next one coming up is our next bridge inspection contract, which is a four-year contract that I already had to start last Friday to start the process to do a selection in 2025. So we're 18 months out. So I did the first step, which was request the state's DBE percentage goal for the consultant staff to hire a disadvantaged business. So I've already taken the first step on those. To go along with it, given a copy to the auditor, I have a copy of the phase two that we just completed for your office, which we'll get over there so that you have a actual final copy of the phase two, which is on our current contract. So then they've already got a certain a year and a half ahead of time on the next one. And then I gave you a sample copy in front of you as we've had discussions on starting the process. The state wants us to go ahead. This is related to the Road and Bridge grant, the community crossing money. They want everybody in the state to be able to move as fast as possible to get these projects, which works great for us because we definitely want to be able, what we've got caught in the past is there's a delay on their part of awarding the money and getting the contracts processed. So we might get money in June or July, but by the time we get the contracts and we're able to award, we can't actually get construction until the following year. So we're in phase one right now, which the rumor is that they're going to make the awards by April 1. And if we can get there and get it awarded as soon as possible, then we can get all of our seven projects, $2 million done yet this year in 2024, which is our goal. So what this is the notice to the contractors, the invitation for bids, which we do on all the projects, which just, I've set the timeline with your approval to go ahead and get it advertised, that we would accept our bids on April the 17th, which would be an evening meeting, and then we will already have them in place, and then we can't officially award the contract, but we'll have the prices, so as soon as we get the official award that we've been awarded the funding, then we can jump right in. The low bidder, we can go ahead and issue the contract, and then all that information has to be documented back to the state, and at that point they can process the contract, and then we're ready to go to construction. So it will keep the projects moving on a fast-track timeline. And I think the state has gotten some kickback on some delays in their part. Like last year, they didn't make the announcements till December. Well, there's no way you can spend that fall money until this year, so we've got an automatic 6-8 month delay. So their goal is to go ahead and get them awarded as soon as they can. So that fits right in with our plan to get moving as soon as possible. So with your approval, if you guys would entertain to go ahead and approve sending out the notice to bids, and I've got the three copies for you to go ahead and sign.
I'll entertain a motion to that effect.
Yeah, I'll make a motion. I did the invitation for the bids.
Second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And we've got a copy here that Mike's already signed, so we can probably all sign.
One more thing, Mike. Can
yes, sir.
If there's a pickup truck, a diesel, that, what is it, that 2016 that was going to be the assistant highway superintendent's truck, it's not running. Is there any way of getting that fixed?
We're working on it. We have two or three other ones. Actually, the one that I'm driving has an issue too, so okay. So we're trying to get them as soon as we can.
One more thing. Are you done, Blake?
Yeah.
The bridge that we closed.
Yes.
Liberty. We approved the $20,000 study.
Yes.
Is that going anywhere?
It's due by the end of the month, which is next week. So I should have the recommendations. Time frame will depend once we get the recommendation on structure type. Then we will, if we go ahead and go with the precast concrete, it'll just be how fast we can get them to cast the beams. But it's there again, since we declared it as the emergency status, we can move forward as soon as possible to get that opened up.
We got the three.
And then I might go ahead in the interest of saving time, your next item is on the bike lanes signage. We've been working on that. I've been working with a couple of consultants who are professional engineers who do traffic and bike design. And if we could go ahead and continue that to the next meeting, then what we're going to do is actually put together a recommended plan so that we're just not kind of shotgun approach. And we'll review all the design standards and come back with an actual proposal on if and where we think it's a good idea to have them.
Okay. Yeah, I think we definitely need to get a little bit of professional input here on that. I see some good things, some bad things about it for Brown County. So.
Well, the other thing, too, is we already have some existing county ordinances that are related to highway. Kind of an overview ordinance that was created even before my time, so it's been around for 15 years plus, is it actually has the wording in it that any time a contractor or anyone obstructs the natural posted speed limit that they're supposed to apply for a permit. So there may be some ordinances that need to be some wording changed in those too, so we just want to make sure we cover all of our bases.
Okay. And nobody's telling them that they can't ride their bikes?
No.
No. I just noticed on one of the signs that looked off to one side, I would think they would need to be centered. But anytime you start messing with the signs, there has to be a study.
Well, that's why there are standards on how signs are to be mounted, how and where. And
I'll go ahead and make a motion to table until the next one, see if we can get some more information.
Okay.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Motion, I hear a second. I'll second the motion. I think we need more input on this before we make a decision about the signs. So. Motion to second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Brad, you're up. We have approximately 20, maybe 25 minutes, because we started late.
That'll be quick.
Oh, is that what it is?
Sheriff Brad Stockwell.
2 hours.
Okay. Wait, I'm sorry. What I'm here to ask, I've talked to the council on Monday night. Unfortunately, their meeting was before your meeting, so kind of put the cart before the horse a little bit. But I got approval from the council that if I can get a contract with another agency to house inmates in our facility, that they would move that money towards the raises that I went to the council and asked for. I'm working hard on trying to find an agency that we can contract with to house up to 20 inmates, that we can keep them segregated into one pod, so the cost would stay, if anything happens, would stay with that agency. I'm even possibly going to look into federal inmates. It's not going to be an easy task. We would enter into an MOU with whatever agency, and that would be, so that's the contract, that's why I'm coming to you. And if with your approval to move forward, I want to try to find us an agency that we can contract with. I will have my legal deputy look at it, as well as I will need your guys' attorney to look at it.
So I can write that down?
My legal deputy.
Yeah, who is that?
My legal deputy. Most sheriffs have one. So I guess what I'm asking for is just that if I find an agency that will contract with us to house their inmates, that you guys would be for that moving forward, that I'm not spinning my wheels and doing something that won't get approved.
The only question I got, Sheriff, is that we've talked about this in the past, years before, about housing folks. The question was whether or not you guys have enough personnel to take care of that. Do you have enough personnel?
For 20, yes, we do. We our numbers since COVID have been down. Yesterday we were 41. I didn't see the count this morning, but we were 41 yesterday. Pre-COVID, we were running in the 60s, so that's about where we're going to be.
But you feel comfortable that you've got enough staff to be able to take care of that?
Yes, I do. And even in the MOU, we will write in if our population climbs to a higher number than what we're used to, that we can back out of that and have to. Okay. I mean, we'll take care of all that in the legal issues there. So this is the only way. I actually literally had an officer turn his two-week notice in today. So this is a real issue. He's going to Monroe County to make more money. As you all saw, Washington County is now going into where they're not going to have night shift because they're dealing with the same type of situation we're dealing with. They can't get the funding to pay the officers and staff what they need, so they're leaving their facility as well and going to other agencies that are making a lot more money. Unfortunately, the officer we're losing is one of our locals that is our sergeant, one of the few that has a few years on, and We are at six officers right now with 3 years less, and this is probably going to put us now with seven when we replace this officer. So,
this probably should have been done a long time ago. I believe that's why it was built to the size that it was. It's just never quite worked out. I won't have a problem with you looking into it.
Okay. That's all I need, is just if we could come up with an MOU that you guys would work with me on that and make help make that happen.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you take a vote on this tonight?
Mm-hmm. We should, yeah.
Well, make a motion to go ahead and let the sheriff pursue entertain inmates from other counties and other potentially federal entities.
Second.
Motion to second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Sheriff. Absolutely. We're getting pretty short on time. I want to get the important things done. We need to approve the final payment on the courthouse.
Yeah.
I think Ron and I have looked that over, and I think we agreed on the number that they have coming. And
yeah, we pretty well went over it. The numbers seemed to work. I checked with Doug. He explained it.
Yeah.
The only thing is they're still withholding $2,000 to make sure the grass is growing. For some reason, I want to think this number is actually smaller than the last time. I want to think it was $120,000 last time.
He said all this was the percentage that was held back. It was the retainage, as they called it.
That's fine. I make a motion that we go ahead and make the application number 9 payment to Builder. Is it Associates or what's that last name?
Yeah.
Yeah, building. No, it's Building Associates Inc.
Yeah.
Yeah, $106,289.74.
We need one of them signed and dated.
Okay.
You want to sign its name, sign?
Sure.
Okay.
Do
we get a second?
Yeah.
Need a second.
Yes.
And a second?
I thought you seconded.
You seconded.
No, you motioned. Did you second?
No. Okay, we looked at it. We need a second.
Look,
I have a second.
No. I'm sorry, okay. So we have a motion?
Yeah.
And a second? If not, I'll second the motion. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign. Okay, thank you very much. We're about to conclude the courthouse project, and I think we're getting the motion voted out. So that's all that means.
Looks like you got two things left other than
mine. Yeah. Let's go ahead. We talked about this, about deeding the Southern Brown Fire Station properties to the Van Buren trustee. And I think it's a suitable idea. We couldn't do it for 5 years due to the restrictions of OCRA on the grant that they gave us to build it. But we're free of that now. And I don't see any reason for the commissioners to continue to own it. I think that should go to the township trustee. And everyone is in favor of that down there. So we have to have our approval. So
moved.
I think that'd be fine. And I don't really have a problem with it. Other than a few years back, I remember the OCRA grant with the Jackson Township Fire Department. And I'd like to know which direction that one went.
We'll have to find out. I don't know. I haven't had time to
look. Okay. Like I said, I really don't have a problem with it, but to keep everything in order and to be consistent in what we do.
So moved.
Okay, we have a motion. Do I hear a second? I'll second the motion. Any discussion? Yes.
Hi, my name is Shannon Ayers. I am the Van Buren Township Trustee.
Yay! Okay.
I just want to thank you for this consideration. The Southern Brown has been stellar in their responses. They have done everything they're supposed to be as far as their certifications and everything. And I just again, want to thank you. And we look forward to continuing
Thank you. We're really proud of what's happened down there. We were in a difficult situation a few years ago, but we did finally broker a deal and got things back sort of where they needed to be. But this is the final step, I think, to just go ahead and deed it then to the trustee of Van Buren Township.
And I forgot the most important part. I wanted to invite you guys to come and visit the new structure that we just finished this past year. We are having a fundraiser on May 11th at an open house, and we would like everybody to come and attend the fundraiser and tour the new facility, $120,000 three-bay, extension. So the deeding of the property would go a long way in letting the fire department know that you guys have our back and have our support, and that you have confidence in our abilities. So, right.
And we appreciate the fact that you're able to stand 2 hours of this.
I need to get your contact.
Okay.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign.
Just abstain. I have a question. I believe in using due diligence. I just wanted to keep them the same.
Okay.
What's good for one should be good for the other.
We'll take that when it comes up to deal with it.
It's not coming
they'll
up.
They'll be treated the same.
I think.
Okay, we have one thing left, and we have exactly 11 minutes. Now, I'm fudging because we started 10 minutes late. But we will be done in 2 hours.
That's right.
The letters from Greenfield.
Well, let's go ahead and do the bike lane signage.
We did.
Oh, you already did?
Yeah.
Okay, never mind. All right, so then the letters from Greenfield. This is just kind of a little special thing. We received these in the mail yesterday. And these are letters from Greenfield Central Community School Corporation, and there are four of them, and it says, Dear County Commissioners, I'm a fourth grader student at the Maxwell Intermediate School. I am writing today to request information about your county, Brown County. I appreciate anything you can send me for my research project. Please send it to Mrs. Tilly's class at the Maxwell Intermediate School, North Main Street in Maxwell, Indiana. And this one is Brennan Wayne. And then we have a letter from, Hayden. And a letter from Emily Vasquez. And a letter from Reagan Patterson. So I don't know if you guys want to answer them personally, but is there something that you would like for me to send them?
Send them a transcript of this. I like the stellar part of it.
No. Absolutely not. Okay. So if you would like to send a letter yourselves, you can send me an email and I'll put it in your letterhead and wait for you to come in to sign it. And and then we can send whatever you would like to send in.
Yeah, very good.
All right. That's it.
We have a couple of minutes left. Is anything else to come from the Board of Commissioners?
So.
It's not about Stellar, but I hope that that gets resolved positively. With regard to what I came here for, and I just wanted to mention that the KHTA has had two meetings with the BCCF, and we're in the process of establishing a fund in support of opening the crossing. I think we're going to be put in $3,000 right up front to get it going, and we're hoping to the other people interested in promoting the opening of the crossing, the activities that would go along with the opening, would join in with us. So that's it. I think we've met twice with Alice, once with Terry Norman, and we think we've got the mechanism for getting it right. That's it.
Okay. Very good. Thanks, sir.
Legal.
Yep. Mike. Good. You have anything for us?
Nothing about that. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you for hanging in there with us. need a motion for adjournment.
Motion to adjourn.
Second. Second, all in favor, raise your right hand, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you all for coming.